Hello and welcome back to Curios Podcast. And today's topic, we'll be talking about worship. So to begin, I would like to define worship. And what is worship? I want to ask one of you guys.
Yeah. When we talk about worship in the present, we always think about songs, right? We always think about instrument. We always think about the part of the liturgy. And that is true. But worship is more than that. We know that anything that is for the will of God, to show honor, that shows our gratitude to Him, that is worship. Mm-hmm. So all the Christians are called to be worshipers.
Amen.
Even though you don't sing, even though maybe you don't play any instruments, worship is more than that. But we know, and we're going to focus more on the part of the liturgy, that we call worship, where we sing and all of us play instrument. I play drums. What do you guys play?
Bass.
Play electric guitar.
Acoustic guitar. Yeah. Learning electric guitar.
Nice. So we all are part of the worship team, but we know that as musicians, we have been facing some problems in the present, where we know that worship cannot take the part of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is important, but the part of the exposition of the word is essential to the service. And true worship will not want to substitute the part of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the problems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But what other problems we have in the present with worship?
Well, to continue with what you were saying about worship would not take the part of the preaching. The worship should prepare the heart of the person to hear the word of God that He has prepared for everyone on the church and, yep, and that moment right there. But we're having some problems, especially with people that will their standard singing in this case, because you were talking about we all are worshipers, not because we only play instrument, mm-hmm, we sing a song or something like that. But in this case, we're talking about about their writing of it's a song, right? Mm-hmm. And when they're singing church, they mainly focus on humanistic center, right?
Yeah.
And not Christ center. And that's one our biggest problem right now and on worship and the liturgy about singing the song that will minister the people in that place.
Yeah.
They're trying to put an all that song while it's going through their life or their whole testimony or any problem that they have, but they're forgetting the main point about the worship, like Javierito was talking about being grateful what God has done in our life, and it's not about we or me,
mm-hmm,
it's about problems. Him. It's,
yeah,
about
exactly
what Christ has done in our life, how He has died for us, and how we are grateful and thankful for what He has done in our life. And that's one of our biggest problems that we have.
Exactly. And we can resume this as egotistical music, right? And egotistical music is, as you were saying, a style of music that elevates oneself, right,
mm-hmm,
over God's importance. For example, it elevates someone's achievements, someone's own achievements, their wealth, and their fame as well. They put this over what God intended it to be. And this style of music we can mostly find in genres such as hip-hop, rap, and also pop music. And this is the problem we're having nowadays, where people are elevating this instead of elevating God. And that's what worship shouldn't be, right? Because worship should always be how it's intended to be. To praise the one and true God, to elevate the God and not ourselves, because we need to humble ourselves before Him and not elevate ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to bring a little bit of scripture to this topic because it connects really well. Paul, when he was writing his letters, he says, "Let us sing to one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs."
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's define those three. Psalms are simply inspired songs by the Holy Spirit that are contained within our scriptures. So, they are perfect, they're without mistake, and they are the example of what God had had intended for music.
Mm-hmm.
And so these other categories are this. Hymns typically focus on God. They are theocentric, focused on God. And so that actually focuses on what his characteristics are, what he has done, who God is. And so, and we see hymns all across of history. The main elements that are within hymns are focused on him. And so we can actually learn something from hymns. In every single hymn, we can learn a little bit about who he is. Now, spiritual songs, they're mainly testimonies or experiences of God, experiences of his power, and a song that a particular Christian writes towards God in gratitude. And so there's a difference between when David is writing his psalms and when we write some of our spiritual songs, because we don't have any inspiration from the Holy Spirit to write something. Because if we were inspired to write a song, it would need to go into the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the canon is closed. And so watch this. The spiritual songs, there's become a major shift in the ambiguity in the message. There's a lot of people who they start to write songs on what God has done for them. And so they start to write lyrics that can be interpreted very, very differently. Let's say, for example, one person says, you know, God, I love you. And he starts to describe the relationship between God and him in a form of like a romantic context.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you have another person who's not saved listening to the song, he starts to say, oh, this is just a song I can sing to my boyfriend or my girlfriend. And there's actually no difference. There's
that
actually
a lot with ambiguity. A lot of secular Christians now. Yep. They're helping a lot. Different ones.
Yeah, exactly. We see that this problem, and I actually identifying a shift in, we see like pragmatism within seculars or within Christian songs to appeal to the masses, to appeal to both people. And so there's a lot of people that are losing the focus of their of Jesus Christ as Lord and starting to describe him as a more so a kind of like a boyfriend. And so the bottom line is this: songs need to have a clear message, a clear, concise truth that cannot have any sort of ambiguities. Because if we sing a song that has different interpretations, we are not singing in spirit and in truth. And so to sing in spirit and in truth means to sing with your whole being, to have the Holy Spirit give you the power to worship him, right? And to sing in truth means it aligns with what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And so every single time that we sing a song, we need to have some form of truth, some form of education that's contained within the songs. Because there's songs for, let's say, evangelism, where they write it and we sing these songs that contain scriptures. Now, if we don't have clear, concise truth, it will just fly over the heads of whoever's listening to it.
Yeah, so like the Bible says, we must sing with understanding. That means that anything that you sing, you must believe it, right? And every single song should contain doctrine. In the Old Testament, when God gave a message to Israel, he said, you have the right songs. That means you have the right words, but your heart is not right. That means that you can be singing so many things, right? We always say in worship songs, I surrender, right? But have you truly surrendered to Christ?
Because you can say it with your mouth, but have you said it with your heart?
Yeah, you could say, I give you all. You're number one. There are many songs that say those lyrics, right? And we don't actually leave it, right? We don't believe it. We don't do it in our lives. So worship, that's the reason why we say from the beginning, worship is more than singing. And talking more about what are the requirements, specifically in the worship team, to be a good leader in worship or to be a part of the worship team, what are the requirements? What are the attributes that you should have Is it only talent?
So to speak a little bit on that, there is a couple of different characteristics. Number one, you have to be born again. We have that clear. We have to be born again to be a music worship leader. Because if you're not born again, then your ministry is not going to give fruit. Number two, you have to have a continual relationship with Christ. You have to read his scripture daily. Because if we don't read his scripture daily, then we are not going to be singing in spirit and in truth. And I would say the act of living a holy life is one of the most important actions that you can take as a music leader or a music or worshiper, because your congregation actually sees you, sees your testimony, and sees that
because
fruits.
I think what they're focusing everything right now is about just the performance, how they look on the altar. Because even in some cases they have praying people that are not even Christians to play
on secular musicians
to play on their group and everything, and they don't care if those people actually believe what they're preaching, what they're singing. They just care about how it sounds, if it sounds powerful, if he does the chord that he needs or everything, but it doesn't point it out that that's not the purpose of our worship.
Exactly. Yeah, and we also see it the other way around. We see many Christians that were born in the church. That means they grew up in the church. They became, the church gave them the opportunity to play. They grew up there and they learned, they became talented in the church. And at some point they start changing their principles and they become secular musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And when that happens, it's because their talent took them to a place where their character cannot keep them.
Yep.
That means that,
that's good.
I mean, your talent can take you to so many places. Mm-hmm. A lot of doors can make open, right? A lot of big stages. But if your heart is not right, that means if you don't have your character, if you don't have your principles, you will corrupt yourself. Mm-hmm. That means you, at some point you will leave everything just because you were focusing more in fame, you were more focused in your glory than the glory of God.
Exactly. And this is where the root of the egotistical music comes into play. When a person isn't spiritually right with God and God is trying to take them to a level to spread the word, but they're not right with themselves. This is where we find the problem now.
Mm-hmm. With worship, there are so many times where I've seen where people believe that specific songs can actually trigger a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's simply wrong. I'll state that right there. There are so many times where there's elements of a music, of a song. For example, drums. Whenever we get to this high point of a song, there's this like a feeling of a euphoria almost, where everyone's singing together, everyone's singing with passion, with emotion, and they think that that is the Holy Spirit, when we actually see factors of this in secular concerts with the same exact, you know, same exact instruments being played. We have the same exact feeling.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that it's not the singer that causes the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's not the drums, not the electric guitar.
Yeah.
It is the Holy Spirit who chooses to manifest himself in that particular service for the edification of the church. And it is not something that he has to do. We cannot force him to do so, but it's something that he pleases. And so every time that this happens, we need to truly understand it's not us, but it's him. It's the Holy Spirit who takes control of the service. It's the Holy Spirit who takes control of the singer, who takes control of the drummer, who takes control of the guitarist. And he sees that God ministers through these people because we become vessels. We are simply vessels of clay. And so we could be easily broken. And what God does is he uses these vessels of clay and he fills them up with an anointing or a backing, right? And so this backing or power to be able to minister in a supernatural way is only given by the Holy Spirit. And so when people Amen. Try to replicate yeah. this and say, we need to have the same anointing, the same manifestation Sunday mm-hmm. after Sunday, they start to feel this pressure of performance.
Yeah.
And so to draw it down to its conclusion, how do we replicate this manifestation of the Holy Spirit? We can't.
Yeah.
We simply need to be in connection with the Holy Spirit, reading his scriptures, praying, yeah. fasting. Those are all the things that we can do, and God takes control of the rest of that.
Yeah, we need more to conclude. We need more worship songs that fill the mind of the person that is singing it, rather than touching only the emotions of the person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.